thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
This evening I want to read from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 15. This is entitled, The God Who Opens Hearts. The God Who Opens Hearts. Praise his name. Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day onto Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. You consider me a believer in the Lord, she said. Come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Paul and his companions were traveling about anywhere and everywhere preaching the gospel. Sometimes they'd maybe think in their own minds, well, go there. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go there. They go there, the Spirit of Jesus prevented them from going there. We don't know how exactly he did that, but he did. And then they came to Troas. And God spoke to Paul in this vision during the night. In this vision, he saw a man standing and begging, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, Paul believed that's God speaking. A vision in the night. A man begging, that is God speaking. And so if God speaks, you need to respond. And you need to respond quickly when God speaks. So they got ready immediately because there was that sense of urgency of a man standing begging. Now they traveled sea, they traveled over land, they arrived in Macedonia and they went to Philippi, the leading city. On the Sabbath, a couple of days after they got there, they went outside the city gate looking for a place of prayer. I wasn't really sure about that either. Was that somewhere where people would be gathering to pray? I'm not really sure. But there was a group of women there, probably just talking together. Paul and his companions got into a conversation with them. I think this is interesting. We might have a vision or a leading from God to go somewhere and bring the gospel, but God expects us to use so many of our ordinary abilities. Expecting God to work is very rarely a case of sitting back with your arms folded, just waiting to see what God does. That is not generally how God works. Expecting God to work is most often stepping out in faith yourself And then seeing how God works in his own ways, watching him work. So Paul and his companions start off in the most ordinary way, just having a wee chat to somebody. We can all do that, can't we? We can all have a wee chat. Most of us, we chat about the weather. I'm not sure if Paul was talking about the weather or the price of bread or the price of purple cloth or whatever. But Paul wasn't content to let the conversation stop at the weather and the price of bread, as we often are. Paul was always looking for an opportunity to bring the word of God. He knew God has called me here for a specific purpose, so I need to speak about Jesus. One of the women who was listening was Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, probably then a very rich woman. She was already a worshipper of God, but she didn't know about Jesus. As Paul was talking to her, to the group, I think it's incredible. God opened up her heart to respond to the message. Paul's message was the same. You read the book of Acts. His message was the same wherever he went. He often told his testimony, a great way to start. He would tell them, listen, folks, I am a Jew. I am a Jew, and I come from the strictest sect, the Pharisees. I mean, we keep the letter of the law and all of that. He said, I was utterly convinced Jesus was a con man. That's what I thought of him. I thought those who follow him, that's a cult. And we need to snap it out. We need to stamp it out. And so Paul would tell them, I did everything and anything humanly possible to crush those Christians. He might have told them how he stood at the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, the clothes of those who were stoning at his feet. He said, I stood there giving approval to his death. Got letters going, trying to imprison the Christians, dragged them from their homes to imprison them. And then one day, on the road to Damascus, with those letters from the high priest in my hand, ready to persecute those Christians to their death, the Lord appeared. A blinding light out of heaven shone around me. And a voice came, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he would tell them how he was led into Damascus by the hand of his companions because he was blinded from the light. He would have told them, he said, in that moment when Jesus appeared, my heart was changed. I knew Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. He paid it all on the cross. And God raised him from the dead. That was Paul's great message. God raised him from the dead on the third day. He's living. But you need to trust him. You need to trust him because it is only through Jesus that you can have forgiveness of sins. There's probably quite a group of women there. But it only tells us here, Lydia was listening. And as she was listening, God opened up her heart. He opened up her heart. And she was enabled to respond to the gospel message. She obviously shared it with her household and they were all baptized. This evening, you may be listening to this message, an old message that you are very familiar with. But tonight, you know it's true. Not only do you know it's true, but you sense God opening up your heart. You're convinced it's true. Yes, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, he has been raised from the dead. Yes, he is going to return again at the appointed time to judge the living and the dead. Yes, heaven is real. Yes, hell is real. Those who trust in him are forgiven and have eternal life. He's opened your heart. You hear it. You believe it. But you need to respond. You need to be ready. He will give you the grace to respond. You may have hardened your heart in the past, but I urge you tonight, don't harden your heart. I suppose maybe because I'm now thinking about those two young men in that car accident, I am thinking, Lord, don't let anybody leave this place tonight hardening their heart. Because I tell you something, friends, a second is all it takes for the breath to go out of your body, and there's no opportunity to go back. No opportunity. When the Lord touches you, when he softens you, and you hear the truth, and you know it's the truth, and in your heart, part of you saying, that's true, I need to respond. But there can also be another part that's trying to pull you away. That is the devil's work. You need to cut that off. And when he speaks, you need to respond to him. The urgency of the gospel. In the vision, the man from Macedonia was standing and begging, come and help us. Friends, that's what this world's calling out for. Come and help us. Come and bring the gospel. Today you're hearing the word differently. Maybe in the past, the gospel was a scent of death to you. You didn't want to hear it. You shut your ears to it. May tonight, may it be the fragrance of life to you. It's a word you want to hear and respond to. Respond with all your heart. You'll never regret it. Never. Doesn't mean you won't have challenges and struggles. They're a certainty. But to have forgiveness of sins, money can't buy that. To have the peace of God in your heart, that is priceless. To know that you are in a true relationship with the living God as your loving Father, that is incredible. To know that your eternal destiny is secure, wow, that's what he offers tonight. You are assured of it. Our bodies still die, but we will be raised again when Christ returns. In this day and age, many people are trying to attain immortality. People are having their remains frozen in the hope that some cure will be found for whatever they died from, and somehow they'll come back to life. It'll never happen, said me. It'll never happen. But Paul says, our bodies will die. But one day when he comes, the mortal will put on immortality. That which was perishable will be raised imperishable. Jesus Christ, when he was raised from the dead, his resurrection was a first fruits of all who would believe in him. This is what you're opening your heart to tonight. He's calling you. He's calling you to himself. Don't harden your heart. For those of us who have family, friends who are unsaved, I bring this word as a word of encouragement. Many of our families have made commitments to the Lord at some point in the past, but at this moment they are far from God, or some have never believed. They need an encounter with the Lord. Now, we all probably need to be reminded from time to time, God has the power to work at any time of the day or the night, in absolutely any place, gradually or instantaneously, and open up somebody's heart to Jesus. God can do that. Nobody is outside the range of God's power. Nobody is too far from God's reach. I love that. You may worry about your family and think, they've moved out of the sphere of Christian influence. You may say they've moved into areas of darkness. even those who have deliberately set their hearts against God are not unreachable by God. Is Saul, we know as the Apostle Paul, is he not absolute proof of that? He who thought Jesus was a con man, who thought Christianity was a cult, who absolutely was convinced he was doing the right thing by destroying Christians, was he too far and too hard for God's power to intervene? No, he wasn't. Never give up. Never give up praying that God would use whoever or whatever that needs to be done to soften the heart of your loved one and that he might give them the grace to respond. Each one of us who are Christians, I know that's the majority here, we have to continually maintain an open heart to respond to the Lord, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. After Saul had had this experience on the Damascus Road, and he was led into Damascus, the Lord appeared in a vision to Ananias, and he told him to go to the house on Straight Street where Saul was staying. And he said, go there and pray for him because he's blind and, you know, God's going to, I'm going to use you to, he's able to see again. I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for me. Now, initially, Ananias was a bit dubious. Right, Saul, is he not the one who's actually coming here with letters from the chief priests to destroy us? Is he not that persecutor of the church breathing out murderous threats? Ananias was dubious. But his heart was open to God. And he went and he prayed for Saul and the scales fell from his eyes. Christian, is God asking you to speak to somebody? Maybe somebody with a frightening reputation. Maybe somebody who's the hard man. You know, we all know some of those. Have you been trying to shut out that prompting? Or maybe it's a nice old lady that lives next door that wouldn't say boo to a goose, but she's not saved. Has the Lord been prompting you? But you're trying to shut out that prompting. If God is prompting you to speak to somebody, you can be sure that God is preparing and softening their heart to receive the gospel. You can be sure of that. I read a book that Margaret lent me maybe a couple of months ago. I didn't agree with everything in this book, but one thing I was mightily challenged in this book was a woman, and she would just be constantly praying, Lord, lead me to whoever it is that you're wanting me to speak to. And she would be led to neighbors, sometimes random people on the street, and in every case, those people would respond to the gospel of Jesus. Oh, that our hearts would be open. God's working. You might remember the story of Peter. This is in Acts 10. He was staying in somebody's house as a guest. He was up on the roof, in the flat roof. He was praying as he waited for his dinner to be ready. I wish I could do that, pray while somebody makes the dinner, but alas, I have to make the dinner and pray. He was praying while the dinner was getting made. And he fell into a trance and had this vision. Use your imagination, this is an amazing vision. A big sheet held by its four corners was let down out of heaven. And inside, when Peter saw inside this big sheet, there was all kinds of animals and crawling and creepy crawlies and all kinds of stuff. And a voice spoke to Peter and said, Peter, get up, kill and eat. And Peter's like, Lord, Lord, I'm a good Jew here. I have never in my life eaten anything that's unclean. Three times that happened. The sheet came down, the things inside it, the creatures inside it, the voice, Peter, get up, kill and eat. Then God spoke to him and says, do not call anything impure that God has made. It wasn't to do with eating animals. It wasn't to do with those Jewish laws. It was to do with people. It was to do with the people that God had made. This vision was a method God had used to soften Peter's heart toward the Gentiles. No sooner than had this vision happened than three men appeared at the gate right outside the house where Peter was staying, Simon the Tanner's house, and they're calling out, you know, is Peter staying here? And when Peter came down, he said, I'm the man that you're looking for. He says, what is it? He said, we've been sent by Cornelius, a Gentile who was a God-fearer, a Roman centurion. And God appeared to him and spoke to him and said, send for Peter. Listen to what he has to say. Will you come with us? Peter said, I'll go with you. 1 hour before this vision, Peter would most likely have said, I'll not go there because I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile. There's so many rules about it all and I can't enter a Gentile's house. But because of this vision, don't call anything impure that God has made. He was ready to go. Peter got to the house and he started to explain to Cornelius and the crowd of family and friends that he'd gathered, started to explain the gospel. He was preaching the gospel. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy and praise God. Peter and his companions were gobsmacked, as we would say, amazed. God's Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles. Wow. Don't put limits on who God might be speaking to. Don't imagine that God only softens certain people's hearts. Peter, before this, had effectively written off a large section of the community, the Gentiles. And I just say, in Northern Ireland, sadly sometimes, there's a large section of our community written off. Don't call anything impure that God has made. That is not talking about food. That is talking about people. People. God is no respecter of colour or creed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were open enough to see beyond so much of what culturally and traditionally we have placed barriers and to recognise those whose hearts God is softening and to bring the word of life. As believers, we need to have a heart that's soft all the time towards God and his ways. All through the Gospels, even into the book of Acts, you see the Jews, God's own people, they didn't recognize Jesus. They didn't recognize what God was doing. Jesus wasn't what they expected, so they turned their backs on him, they rejected him. We can fall into the same trap. God can be working in ways that we don't expect. And so we think it's wrong. We think, oh no, that can't be right. That can't be of God. No, I've never seen that happen before. Be very careful. Be very careful. The history of Christianity has shown that in many times when God has moved in significant and very powerful ways, many very godly Christians have regarded it as a work of the devil. I tell you, it's true. My mother was just telling me this afternoon about, some of you probably watch Artie Kendall on TBN or something or whatever, Channel 65 or whatever it is he's on. And he was speaking about an incident years ago, probably in the Church of the Nazarene where he was raised. He wasn't in the meeting, but the presence of God was in the meeting in such a way. Some people experienced it and some didn't. Some wrote it off as of the devil. And you know something, over the years, those who just wrote it off as of the devil, they were left in that church and it dwindled and it dwindled and it dwindled and eventually it closed. Why is that? Good Christian people, why is that? Because their hearts were closed to God. Even in this year, God might want to do something different among us. God might want to lead you personally into a completely new experience of himself. Now, I'm not talking about the flaky here. I'm not talking about weird. I am talking about God Almighty, and his Spirit is so awesome. And the confines sometimes that we place on him and on our experiences of him, God wants to broaden our horizons. God wants to open all of us. I include myself in that, who've been a Christian for 40 odd years. I say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to go deeper in the Spirit. I want to experience new things of you. I want, Lord, a breath of your Spirit to blow in this church. I want it, and I know many of you want it. But friends, when it happens, will we accept it? You think, what a question. That's a real question, because history has shown that many don't. Many fear. Many are up and down, oh, no, can't be God, can't be God. In every move of the Spirit in church history, there's been a mixture. There's been the work of God. There is absolutely the flesh. And there is the devil in every work. But just because flesh rears its ugly head and because the devil tries to disrupt, it doesn't mean we ignore the work of God. It doesn't. We just need to be wise. We need to be wise, not just taking on board anything. Wise, but having an open heart. Is your heart open? Is God opening your heart tonight? Maybe for the first time to the good news of Jesus, respond to him. Don't be stubborn. Don't harden your heart, a dangerous place to be. Christian, is God softening your heart, creating in you a desire to take a step forward, to move into new areas in the Spirit where you've never been? It's like right back there at the beginning of tonight's sermon. Don't just sit back with your arms folded and say, well, just do it, Lord. Let it happen, Lord. No, that's not how it works. Get on your knees and seek God. Get on your knees and say, Lord, soften me. Lord, I open up my heart to you. Lord, when I read your word, let me see new things here. Open me up, Lord, to your greatness and your glory. And that when we come to the end of 2018, you'll look back and say, wow, I took a mighty step forward in faith and in the experience. Some people are scared of that word experience. Well, in my understanding, actually, it's all about experience. It's all about experience. If you're not experiencing it, I'm not sure it's actually real. It should be experienced. God is to be experienced. He is real, and he touches us because we're real people. Oh, that we would take a step forward. Open up our hearts, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each one of us. I pray, Lord, for those who don't yet know you, that tonight they would hear your voice and respond to you. Give that grace, Lord. I pray for those of us who do know you. Make us bold. Lord, help us never to be the judge of who you're speaking to and who you're not, because we don't know that. Lord, help us always to be ready to share the word of life. Help us to be more tuned into the voice of your Spirit, to his leading and his guiding, to those that you're working on. Then, Lord, help us to bring the word of life. I pray for all of us. God, help us not to be stuck in a rut. Help us not to think that we know it all, we've experienced it all, and we've got it all sewn up. Banish pride from our hearts, O God. May we come to you with an open heart. Say, Lord, there's so much more, and we want to enter into so much more. Oh, Lord, we open up our hearts to you. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon your church in these days, Lord, that we would be alive, alive to you, alive to what you're doing and saying in our generation. We pray in Jesus' name.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.